mouth. This way you can't really tell.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Just like
the little like right side, little crispy right side of your fucking mouth is popping out though, like your right mustache. Yeah, you're like a puppet. goes perfect. I love that.
All right,
what's cracking?
Oops.
Big dogs. Big episode today. Big tight end episode. We know Animal's favorite position. He had a combined 7.3 fantasy points at the tight end position in the entirety of the E-Town Get Down season last year. And you may think I'm exaggerating. The only exaggeration would be if his tight ends actually scored fewer points than that, because he had some trouble. He had some donuts. So we're here today to discuss tight end breakouts, sleepers, busts, general strategy, everything that you don't need to know, nothing that you actually asked for when it comes to the tight end position. We have no idea where Snacks was. He was okay for 1:30, then he wasn't, and then 2 o'clock was supposed to work for him, then also didn't work for him. So Snacks is gone like any hope that Animal's tight end position has for the 2021 year. Animal, how are we?
We're good. You know, I do say, like, I have a saying about tight ends. They all suck. So this is this should be interesting. You know, as I was going through it, trying to find candidates for breakouts, busts, and sleepers, I just kept finding a lot of busts. So,
I mean, that's been the case for the last like 5 years. It's pretty much everyone's like, I'm not paying up for the top tight end. I'll just grab 2 breakout tight ends in the 10th round or later. And we haven't had like breakout tight ends in about 7 years. If you're lucky, you grab George Kittle or Darren Waller. But like, other than that, we're shooting as an entire community, the entire world, we're shooting like 3 for like 90 over the last 3 years, 5 years, 10 years.
Tight end's a tough position. It's outside of like you said, like that's outside of those top 3 guys. It's just a crapshoot, man. Everyone sucks. It's who's gonna get enough targets this year to actually make something happen. That's it.
All right, so why don't we get into that? Who's going to get enough targets? Let's start off with maybe a sleeper, generally less known guy, or someone that's fallen down in the ADP trap. You know, we'll go off of underdog ADP, I suppose. Someone that you think can maybe crack the someone that you think might actually make somewhat of a fucking difference in fantasy lineups. I feel like I already know who you're going to say, but I'll let you take the stage anyways.
You want to guess?
My guess would be a guy whose name rhymes with bowl, and his last name rhymes with basketball net.
No, you're wrong. So for a sleeper, and I don't know how much of a sleeper we're you know this is, because he's Gerald Everett. Gerald Everett is who I have, because he's, you know, he's coming off the injury last year. I still had 40 receptions, which for a tight end, I know like 40 receptions doesn't sound like a lot, but for the tight end position, you want 40 to 60. That's like your bread and butter, because you're not going to, unless you're Travis Kelce, you're not going to get the 100 targets. So his biggest problem is touchdowns. The guy never scores touchdowns. With the Rams, got 8 touchdowns his whole career. Seahawks, Russ Wilson, they throw the ball a lot. They might let him cook for 6 games. Who knows? I just think there's a possibility he ups his numbers a little bit. All he needs to do is bump those touchdowns up. The yards and the receptions are pretty much there. Bump the touchdowns up, and you got a serviceable sleeper tight end here.
I like that. And he's going off the board right now. It says 169 underdog ADP. I'm assuming that's like tight end 26 or some shit. He's going to Seattle.
Yeah.
You know, talked about not being able to score touchdowns, but Russ is a guy with limited volume, tends to score like 35 passing touchdowns every single year. I mean, they can't all go to DK and Tyler Lockett. They could definitely be close to all going to DK and Tyler Lockett, but they've got to spread the love elsewhere. And Gerald Everett's he signed 1 year, $7 million deal, so nothing too spicy, nothing too crazy. He was split in the field with Tyler Higbee. Now he's probably going to be like the sole guy there. We also have to figure out, you know, we'll get Animal's chest underneath the player profile. Super athletic guy. I mean, like, this is
talk shit.
This is kind of like every tight end's profile that people get excited about. But second round pick, he's not too old, you know, 27. Obviously the breakout age comes later, so I kind of like that sleeper pick by Animal there, Gerald Everett, out in Seattle. Now I'm looking at, I'm going to bring up the underdog ADP so we can kind of figure out exactly where dudes are going right now. Maybe we'll stall long enough for Snacks to get in here. Maybe he already is in here and I haven't checked.
No, there's no chance.
No chance.
I would put 0% chance.
Okay, so there are a few guys that I looked at on this sleeper list, and like a lot of them are the same guys that we were talking about last year, right? Like you have Dawson Knox. The Buffalo Bills did not sign anyone. They might trade for Zach Ertz, so it could get messy there, but I feel like he showed he's not the guy there. O.J. Howard has one leg. Christopher Herndon has been a sleeper pick for 5 years. He stinks. And then there's like the guys that I guess have too much, have a little bit too much clout already. Like Adam Trautman is not necessarily like a sleeper. Yeah. He's got a whole lot of fucking buzz behind him.
He'd be more of a breakout candidate than a sleeper.
One, two, three, four,
at this
five,
point, just because seven, everyone's eight, on him.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So he's tight end 15 right now. I don't really know how you want to define it. Here's the thing. With Adam Trautman, I actually don't know if I feel like he's going to break out. There's not a lot of times where like a tight end goes from 100 receiving yards up to, you know, 700 or 800. Like, that's a very big gap. You can have a progressive season, right, and jump up from like 100 to 500. And that's like a nice little boom.
Snacks hey.
Is in here, looking pixely as ever, looking like my fucking
Snack-a-daddle-do.
Oh, wait, I can't be pixelated, man. I have such a great shirt on.
Oh, I see Helga.
Yeah, I Helga can see it. Helga Pataki,
it's not just it's not just that.
Do you hook your
see,
iPhone?
See Ren Stimpy?
I did I
wow,
went on
Nick,
my
look at that Unisyn Sync drink.
Dude, someone called that out in the episode when Jack was over. Did you
Jack.
See that comment?
Yeah.
That was sick.
It was good. It lined up perfectly.
Yeah, it was sick.
Hold on. I use my hotspot.
You look
better.
Like shit. And coming from someone who looks like shit, I would know. You look
why
like
are
shit.
You why are you so close to the fucking camera? Yeah, I use my hotspot because it's usually better than my Wi-Fi, but I think I'm gonna switch to my Wi-Fi.
Yeah, try that out and come
well,
back.
Wi-Fi should work better.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah,
all right,
come
so
back in like 50 minutes.
So we can go with Trautman here. We'll talk about Trautman for a little bit because he is pretty much the only guy left there because Jared Cook is now gone. Jameis Winston is probably I think we're gonna be under the impression that Jameis Winston is gonna be the guy, at least between the 20s. And that's kind of exciting for Trautman because they've been pretending to get a second weapon there in New Orleans for about 5 years and they just haven't done it. So it's gonna be Michael Thomas, it's gonna be Kamara, and then it's gonna be, I guess, Adam Trautman. I do have trouble buying into the fact that he's gonna be like a breakout tight end. But we saw what Jameis did in Tampa Bay. I mean, he loved targeting guys like Cameron Brate in the red zone. He liked targeting O.J. Howard whenever he was on the field. So Trautman kind of gets me excited. Someone did mention in the chat, and I think this is like a sneaky good pick depending on how old you think this fucking guy is, but Jared Cook moving from New Orleans to the Chargers, okay? Jared Cook, I mean, Darnell Parham.
That's one of my honorable mentions.
There we go. Darnell Parham's whatever. They drafted Trey McKitty, but Trey McKitty's a rookie, so I don't expect him to make an impact this year. He'll probably learn under Jared Cook for a couple years. But this is just a breakout offense in every sense of it, right? Justin Herbert coming into his second year. We got Keenan Allen lighting shit up over the middle. Mike Williams on the outside. Eckler. It's just like it's going to be a very open.
I can see Jared Cook being like the like the in between the 20s tight end, where and then bring in Parham, the big tall motherfucker, for the goal line work.
Yeah, I could
Jared
see
Jared Cook
too.
Could have a nice yard season. Get some good
that's
yardage.
That's the thing. There's so many mouths in LA that they're going to be scooping food into, but it's one of those things where like he might just finish as the tight end 12 or something, but a little bit of like a lucky touchdown break, you know, like rather than scoring five, maybe you score seven or eight. Like that's the difference between tight end 12 and tight end seven all of a sudden. So I don't hate Jared Cook, and he's sitting down here at 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. So we've got Gerald Everett. We've got Jared Cook. We've got Adam Trautman. I'm actually like real. What's your take on these New England Patriots tight ends? I'm assuming you're just like staying away from them.
So not to jump the gun, but for my bust candidates, I have Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. And I don't know if I wanted to put or and, but I went with and just because I figured we're going to talk about both of them anyway. But I think they have huge bust potential just in the fact that the Patriots are slipping, Cam Newton's slipping. You got two tight ends who are supposed to be top 10 guys or top or tight end ones. I don't know how two tight end ones are going to eat on one offense. It just doesn't seem plausible.
Okay,
for fantasy.
So here's one where you're wrong. Cam Newton not slipping.
He's slipping, dude.
Number
you
two.
You said last year he wasn't slipping. He slipped all the way.
He's slipping, slid me to the fucking championship. That's all I got to say about fucking Cam Newton. Here's the thing. That offense, I'm not in on Hunter Henry. I just don't think he makes enough plays after the catch for him to be a good fantasy guy. I feel like Jonnu Smith is kind of a nice buy right now. I feel like there's a chance that because we've seen what they've done with tight ends in this offense, and like we've seen an offense where they actually run through the tight end position. What if they just center their passing attack around Jonnu Smith and set him up for like two or three screen plays a game? Like, I feel like he could end up being like a pretty nice player just because he's so athletic.
He could, but then like a lot of those screens could turn to just negative yard plays, and then now he finishes the game with like five targets, like three catches for like 4 yards.
I mean, that's better than what you touchdowns. Had at your tight end spot last year.
I mean, that's something I would take right now, but it's just not. You look so much better. Still Snacks like bike. Jit, but a lot better.
Snacks bike. You think he looks better? He looks worse.
It's slightly clearer.
Yeah, I don't know.
He downgraded.
It looks like there's a poltergeist in your room somewhere, but still, it's very much better.
Whatever. Right. I don't care.
Snacks, we're going to give you a quick breakdown of what we talked about.
Hunter Henry, big bust.
Yeah, okay, Hunter Henry. But do you like Jonnu Smith? Do you like Jonnu Smith at all? Because we're looking at...
I like Jonnu Smith. He's an athlete.
Thank you. See, this offense has proven that they can run through the tight end at some point in Bill Belichick's tenure, so I feel like maybe it could happen again. I think he's worth taking a shot on. He's tight end 16 right now. Henry's like tight end fucking 20 or something, or 19, whatever it is. What about former New England Patriot Rob Gronkowski? I'm fucking all in on Gronk at ADP of 150.
I was gonna ask if he's allowed to be a sleeper because he's Gronk. Because he's Gronk. Holy shit, am I pixelated? You know what? Whatever. I don't care. Is he allowed to be a sleeper because he's Rob Gronkowski?
He's allowed to fall into every.
I think he
could be a sleeper, a bust, and a breakout all in one.
Yeah, because he's a tight end 8, so I don't know how you could be a sleeper, but.
Well, he's going right understand now. Tight end 16. Like 17.
Yeah, so that's why I'm asking.
Well, I mean, that's what happened last year, though. So it's. He's not a sleeper. I'd say he's a value.
How about we just fuck the categories and just talk about the guys and just talk about whether or not we like them or whatever? Because every time we bring up a guy, let's not be like, is he a breakout or is he a sleeper or is he a fucking schmuck? I like Gronk. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah,
I like Gronk too. That's why I don't have him on any of these things.
Okay.
He doesn't qualify for any of them.
Who else did you guys talk about? Real quick, run me through.
Animal, get back. We talked about Adam Trautman. We talked about Hunter Henry. Jared
I like
Cook.
Trautman.
Yeah, Jared Cook. Animal, who did you bring up first? Gerald Everett in Seattle.
Oh, I love Gerald Everett.
Let's talk about some breakout candidates. Let's talk about obviously the most obvious one, Kyle Pitts. Are you guys going anywhere near him? He's currently going at the back end of the fourth round, early fifth round. We know he's athletic. We know Julio's gone. This offense really doesn't have a lot of options to run through. I would like to hear your thoughts on it before I go off.
That seems a little rich for my blood. I
like it though.
He's a freak, and he could be like a league winner, especially now Julio's out and he's just going to eat his targets. But I've never seen him on an NFL field, so late fourth, early fifth. I mean, that's a little. It might be a little rich for my blood.
It's got to be premium. Maybe. It's got to be premium for me if I'm going that high. Because he's one of the guys, when you look at the tight end landscape, premium works for guys who get a lot of volume. It's not just like, oh, the ones who score a lot of fantasy points aren't best in premium. It's the one who get targets and volume. And Pitts is in a situation where he can get that. Like Mark Andrews, not a good tight end premium pick because he's going to get 5 targets a game. Kyle Pitts has a chance to step in and get 7 or 8 targets a game, even if he goes like 5 for 42 or something. Like that's a good game out of the tight end position. So if you're in a tight end premium league, I'm fine with it at the end of the fourth, early fifth, because he's going to be thrown right into a target fill role.
So I like the fact that he has the league winning potential. You're going to get him after guys like Kelsey, Waller, and Andrews, or maybe not Andrews. I don't know where Andrews is going, but those top 3 tight ends where he could end up being in that same position at the end of the year, but you're going to get him at a value. The tight end position is so hard. It's so hard to get someone that's going to actually produce for you every week. It really is. So like if you can get it out of the way early, but not so early where like, you know, you're losing value at the running back position, I like it because wide receivers are so deep this year. You get your RB, and then you go tight end, you know, third, or your QB, RB, QB, tight end. Oh, maybe I'll do that. That could be it this year.
Kyle Pitts
double
is
double RB, QB, tight end.
Let me ask you this. Going into, is Snacks frozen or is he just dead?
He just hates me.
I think he's actually frozen. All right, Animal, let me ask you this. Kyle Pitts going into 2022 fantasy football, what is Kyle Pitts' ADP amongst tight ends?
It's probably tight end 3.
You think? Behind who? Kelsey and who?
Probably Kelsey and Kittle.
Kelsey and Kittle. Okay, so you. So let me ask you. This is another hot debate this year: Waller or Kittle?
Waller.
Yeah, that seems to be the consensus now
for this year, for sure.
Yeah, I mean the weapons, the people that he's competing against, the fact.
I just don't know what's going on at the quarterback position yet in San Fran. Is it going to be Trey Lance? Is it going to be Jimmy G? Blah blah blah. You know, give me the sure thing.
So there's no chance you're going to own Kittle, basically, because it's Kelsey's up at ADP of 8. So you need to use your first-round pick on Kelsey, which I'm never going to do. Darren Waller's at 22. Yeah. Kittle's at 26. So you're starting to see a little bit of a disparity now between Kittle and Waller. People are starting to sharpen up a little bit.
I would rather have Pitts than Kittle this year.
Yeah, two rounds later, like 25 picks later, I'd probably do the same thing. So I'm looking to get somebody where George Kittle's going off the board at like 26, 27.
Where's the gap in the tight end market? Like, where's the big gap where like tiers fall off? Like, after you have the, you know, those three guys in the pits, then where's like Hawkins?
So the biggest gap. Yeah, I'll tell you what the setup is there. That looks clear as shit. That you're on your phone, Snacks.
I'm on my phone. Yeah, that was the best move.
Beautiful. All right. So basically, what we said was
genius.
Are you going Waller or Kittle? First of all, one of those two.
Waller.
Okay, so that's the consensus thus far. Where do you think going into 2022 fantasy football? Where does Kyle Pitts rank among tight ends? Like, what's his ADP going into next year?
He'll be second.
I think that's where I would probably take him to, behind Kelsey. All right, so –
behind Kelsey, yes. Yeah, oh, so real quick, I don't know if you guys talked about him yet. For Bus, I wrote down George Kittle. I just want that on record.
I think that was, like, kind of the consensus we were going at right after you disconnected. His price is just way too high for what you're – for the riskiness of the situation we're getting into there. All right, Snacks, goodbye again. So, Animal, the tier breaks are basically like Kelsey's in his own tier in the first round. You have a tier break between Waller and Kittle, or for Waller and Kittle. They're in the second, third round. Another tier break like 25 spots later, Pitts. Another tier break, Hockenson, Andrews are together. And then basically it's like the Goddard, Higbee, Fant, Logan Thomas are kind of like 5 to 10 spots apart from each other there. So it's like Kelsey, Waller, Kittle, Pitts, Hockenson, Andrews, everybody else.
Yeah, see, tight ends, it's getting there. It's getting to become a better market because the fact that, like, what round is, like, Fant going in, like, 7, 8?
He's, like, 97 overall, so I want to say that's, like, end of 8th round, maybe, 9th round-ish.
Yeah, so, like, that's a guy that I like this year that you're going to be able to get kind of late.
It's another reason I think tight end premium makes more sense because it's a lot. The reason like tight ends are so hard to predict is because like the top 6 or 7 guys usually end up there because they score touchdowns. But touchdowns are so hard to predict. When you start to add in more like tight end premium type rules where they get an extra half catch, you can predict volume a little bit better, right? So you can actually be like, oh, I want this guy in my lineup because I know he's going to get 6, 7, 8 targets. So another little talking piece for you guys trying to change your league to tight end premium. I think it's very much worth it because it takes a little bit of the randomness out of the tight end position overall.
Do you think we have a chance in hell of convincing those guys in our league to do it this year?
We did last year. It just Yahoo platform couldn't fucking handle us. If Yahoo ever customizes their settings.
You know what? I forgot that we did vote on that. Damn, that's a shame.
We voted on it, but we'd have to have moved to Sleeper to get the extra, like, the bonus for catches, and no one wanted to do that.
Yeah, that was
someone
the kicker.
Someone clock management said Snacks playing peekaboo with you guys.
Literally. Literally.
Okay.
Clock management's a good man.
I put for busts. I know we weren't doing labels anymore. You talked about George Kittle. I think the price is very high to be at that, like, second round turn. What's the earliest you would take Travis Kelce, first of all? Because he's a first-round pick right now, and I would never use my first-round pick on a tight end. Last year, I had a lot of shit with him. I had him in the E-Town get-down, but that's because I got him. I was the last pick of the first round, so I got him. It was like the 3-10, 4-1 turn. I got him in like the end of the third, early fourth, and I'm like, of course, I'm not going to pass on Kelce there. This time around, like, where does he need to drop in order for you to take him?
Late second, if I'm like – I won't take
him. I would say.
Just because he's going to go too high.
Yeah, neither
third
would I.
Third round.
Yeah.
Third
Mid
round.
Mid-third, late-third. I'd have to. But that's never gonna happen. So it's like.
I want two running backs. I want RB. So, like, I have to go third then.
No, Animal, you're going QB, you said.
Yeah, what happened? No, why do you keep flip-flop?
RB, QB, tight end. That's it. That's right there.
You already know exactly how you're doing it.
Okay.
4 months in advance. Maybe that night in the woods will
I'm ready.
Maybe that night, yeah, maybe it'll have some brain synapses firing.
Oh, I'm going to talk a lot of strategy in the woods.
Why don't we talk about the woods for a little bit? We're getting a lot of questions on when you're going into the woods.
We can save it for the end. We'll save it for the end.
All right, we'll talk woods.
I've got some ideas.
Let's talk about Logan Thomas, bro, because he's on my bus list. He finished very high. He had a ton of volume. I've made this point a few times this summer already. It's just like, it's kind of like the Darren Waller corollary, except the opposite of it. Because Darren Waller, people didn't think he was going to be good this year for fantasy because they added target competition. But when you looked at every efficiency metric, he was like top three or top five amongst tight ends in things that only like you as a personal player can rack up. It wasn't a volume stat for him. So even if the volume bit, his efficiency was good as hell. With Thomas, he got so much volume, but his efficiency was really bad. Like yards per outrun, yards per target, like all of this kind of stuff was bad for Thomas. So if the volume dips, which I expect it to dip because Curtis Samuel's in there now, De'Ami Brown's in there now. Like who knows if Gibson gets more involved in the passing game. I don't know. Logan Thomas is a guy that's pretty much off my board because you're getting guys like, I don't know, Mike Gesicki, Irv Smith, Tonyan if Rodgers is back. I don't know if I love those guys over him, but I'm just not trying to really take Logan Thomas.
There's two guys there that kind of tie together, like I believe with Logan Thomas and Mike Gesicki. Mike Gesicki is a guy who I have on my bus list because he finished as a top tight end. We're going to have expectations for him. But I feel like his best games all came with Fitzpatrick. So that's going to kind of hurt Gesicki because I don't believe in Tua at all. Left-handed quarterback just doesn't work. Only Steve Young. It's not a thing. So then you go over to Washington now with Logan Thomas, who's got who? Ryan Fitzpatrick. Slings it, throws it to the tight end a lot. Maybe Logan Thomas will actually be a little bit better than we all kind of assume.
So just let me ask you a
thought. I don't.
Go snatch.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, why is it better with added guys that came in with targets and he didn't? Like Nick said, did exactly reduce to what his, I don't know, metrics said. But if it's between Gesicki and Logan Thomas, then I am with Animal. Logan. I think Mike Gesicki sucks, and he was on my bus list too.
He's like, I mean, they bring in Will Fuller. They draft Jalen Waddle. So it's like, who knows how this fucking offense is going to run. I kind of feel like it's similar to Noah Fant, though. Like, there are both so many good playmakers in their respective offenses. It's so hard to tell. Yeah. What the fuck's going to happen? And they're both
going
to
have
athletic.
Their games here and there, be sporadic, and then that's it. And they'll finish like tight end 15, and then you know everyone will think they had really good years, but it was just like four good games.
All right, snacks question
on that real quick, Animal.
Yeah,
okay. What's your question?
Go.
I was going to say in one of my peekaboo sessions, I wanted to tell Animal that I have I don't know if I put him in sleeper or break. I don't even know what you can consider. I love Noah Fant this year. Love him.
Why?
Love him. Why?
Thanks, man.
Because I
you say
I just,
thanks,
there's something.
Thanks,
yeah,
man,
what did he have?
That was a compliment to you.
Well, he knows I normally don't say great things about his Drew Lock. But other than that, well, didn't he get like 100 targets last year? I understand Cortland Sutton was out, but if Teddy Two Gloves the quarterback or him and Drew Lock are some chemistry there. If Teddy Two Gloves the quarterback, then I think he's going to see a lot because I don't think Teddy could throw the ball. And if it's over the middle or these little outs, I think Noah Fant's going to get a lot of fucking targets again. And I think he just happens to be a pretty decent player.
I don't think Teddy throws the ball to the tight end, though.
I don't really give a shit. He's not going to be able to throw it to Judy or something.
Look at
Ian
Thomas last year. I don't think the guy had a target. So, thanks for the compliment, but... thanks for the compliment, but you're wrong.
He's just going to be a guy that everyone drafts like the 10th round. And we're going to look back and be like, he fucking stunk. Doesn't matter.
No, I'm telling you, Noah Fant, big year incoming.
All right, well, we'll let you draft him then.
As I'm also someone... trying to get some good karma on my side because this murder bet is starting to scare me a little bit.
How about this? All right, you like Animal's tight end, Animal. Flip the script and snacks. I need your input as well as someone who's watched every Giants game since you've been alive.
Correct.
Is Evan Engram led the Giants in targets last year? Is he actually just an atrocious player, or has there been bad luck, or like, is there any Hail Mary chance of Evan Engram being a good fantasy tight end this year?
It's an Animal. I know you're going to say no, and that's fine. I was very high in Evan Engram last year. I think I drafted him like what seemed the second round. I don't really remember any of my draft picks, but it sucks his athleticism at the tight end. You want him to put it all together, and if he does. There is such a high ceiling for him in fantasy, but he is a terrible route runner. He can't catch the ball. You know, they gave Kyle Rudolph decent money, who's going to be a fixture in the offense. So I, unless he like really learns how to catch the ball and learns how to run some routes and can actually get open, with Galladay coming in, Saquon back, the targets are going way down. There's no way I can get behind Evan Ingram. There's just no way. He doesn't pass my eye test. I think he sucks. I hope we trade him.
That's sad.
Well, never, I mean, get there. Just can't never, it is sad. It is sad because he's so athletic, and for to be that athletic at the tight end position is such an advantage. And you, those are the guys you can target if you're not getting a Kelce or a Waller, and because the upside there. But he stinks.
All right, Animal.
He flat out stinks.
He can't catch.
Animal, I have a question.
No, it's a big problem.
Please. Did you get in on the sharpest bet of the entire offseason about a month ago? It was
which one? The Vikings.
It was Tim Tebow over under half a receiving touchdown.
No, I didn't. That sounds like a great bet.
It was half a receiving touchdown and over under 13.5 receiving yards. Tim Tebow's getting in the end zone week one. There's no doubt in my mind.
High expectations.
This was actually before he signed.
I don't.
I've been hammering the Broncos to win the division.
I feel like he definitely makes the roster, right?
Dude, he's definitely going to make the roster. I guarantee you, they use him in like a shitty Taysom Hill role. I feel like they're going to use him on the goal line as those like jump fucking dumb pass. They're going to like have a jump play where he throws it to himself. He's going to have a receiving touchdown and a passing touchdown. I'm ready for Taysom.
Urban Meyer's just going
to
be.
I would bet against that one.
Urban's just gonna be so stubborn, isn't he? In like trying to prove the case of signing Tim Tebow.
Yes.
God, I fucking hate Urban Meyer. Okay.
Yeah, I don't advise against not taking Tim Tebow. And I also don't know what I just said there, so like you can't hold that against me. I don't not advise.
Really
like
it's not on video. It's not on video.
Throw that out there. I know we're all over the place now, but I wanted to rewind for a second and say I do like Logan Thomas a lot now. I'm liking him more and more as we go on, even though we stopped talking about him.
Okay. Well,
that's gonna mean I like Logan Thomas less and less and less. So thank you.
I just needed to say it.
you aired that grievance. I can respect it.
Now here's an obvious one. Obviously, Robert Tonyan. Bust. Now, obviously, depending on the fact of Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay. Although, does that make him not a bust at that point then? Because we kind of expect it.
Well, I think I'm just expecting him not to score 11 touchdowns again, even though if Rodgers is back, I guess.
I'll be in on Tonyan if Rodgers is back. Because
if Rodgers is back, I'm in on him for sure.
For sure. Because people are going like way too hard at the like his touchdown regression is going to be huge. It's like fucking obviously, but he's still when you look at
it's going to be seven. Any other weapons other than the other Rodgers?
Well, yeah, there's no other weapons there. He's super athletic. Like he's exactly what you look for in a profile that breaks out, and he like kind of did last year. So I think people are going to be like, he was so good last year in the touchdown department that he can't be that good again. We're going to draft him as like tight end 17. I'm like, okay, like give me Rodgers tight end there.
Well,
he has great 17 hands too. Catch the ball really.
Must be nice to have a tight end who can catch the ball.
Tony, I'm not forgetting. Shut up.
Actually, I do. I do. Yeah. Let's talk about Kyle Rudolph, who's going to score 8 touchdowns in the red zone this year.
Let's not do that.
Let's not. Like, there's really
what
no
mean?
Reason.
That's one of animals. It's one of animals' guys. It's one of animals' guys.
Like Kyle 4 Rudolph. Years ago.
We're talking about Kyle Rudolph for years.
I'll say 4 years ago. That wasn't that long ago.
Dude, that was
3 years ago.
The last time we were. No, it was 2. Because we were in Belmar on the.
It wasn't this preview summer. It was 2 summers ago. How
about.
Scott brought up an interesting case here because there's a lot of guys in this offense that actually could break out. Scott says breakout year coming for Harrison Bryant, too. Now, Harrison Bryant of the Browns, who, as you know, they also have a David Njoku, and they also have. Let's get that on the screen.
I hate Noah. I hate Noah.
And they also
that
have Austin
bitch.
So I don't think it's possible for any of the Browns to actually be a breakout because they're all on the same offense.
So why was that a good – no offense, Matt. Why was that a good point that Scott brought up? I don't understand.
Well, it's an interesting tight end like field to talk about because there's 3 talented tight ends there, and they're all on a team that doesn't really throw the tight end a lot. They run a lot. Baker only throws the tight ends in the end zone, really. red zone.
So fade them all. I think now that was just a stretch to try and keep talking about irrelevant tight ends. Really backed up the claim, the statement I was trying to make about Kyle Rudolph.
I was going to do a quick pivot to Dynasty. Do you think there's any value in any of those guys in Dynasty maybe taking a shot and hoping one of them gets traded or something? Because those are three talented guys in tight end position.
I just drafted Harrison Bryant in a Dynasty startup in the 19th round or so. Just see, fuck around, see what happens there. I feel like Austin Hooper is the guy. He was started off slow. He was injured. They had those four games in the snow where they threw for 112 yards a game. And then he came biking. He was fine. I don't know what they're going to do. They're probably going to throw it 22 times a game, but whatever.
There's nothing. Well, they only really have one receiver, so.
Yeah.
They only have one receiver, so that's.
And we know you threw that in there twice just to make sure.
Yep.
Who's their one receiver, Snacks, to make you feel better?
Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry.
Animal.
They have nobody else.
You want to talk about your guy?
Cole Kmet?
You want to recite your poem?
No, I don't want to do that.
Why?
But you can maybe I should probably post it on Twitter for those who haven't seen it because it's only been posted on that private YouTube channel for the player profiler.
They didn't post it on the Road Underworld?
I think it's private though.
On the Twitter?
You have to get the link. They posted on Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, fuck you talking
I was
about?
Gonna post the actual video, and not the link. You know what I mean? Because it fits. But yeah, Cole Kmet. I think he's a possible breakout candidate this year. I like the fact that you got QB1 Andy Dalton there, who we know likes to throw the tight end. He's got the rapport with Tyler Eifert from 5 years ago, so that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at history repeats itself. He got his Eifert. I'm expecting 48 receptions, 583 yards, and 7 touchdowns from Cole Kmet this season. You say, man, that's not really a breakout, but going from 28 catches and 2 touchdowns, that would be considered a breakout for me. Because halfway through the season, he's going to have a new quarterback named Justin Fields, and you're going to see there'll be a hiccup, maybe one game, but then right back to it. So
you're going to be pissed when Jimmy Graham scores twice in week one?
Jimmy Graham had 8 touchdowns last year, and I don't see it happening again. I just don't see it happening.
Well, he's going to
be Cole Kmet. He's going to get at least 4 of those. So that'll bring a total of 6. Jimmy Graham might have 4 touchdowns.
Jimmy Graham scores 9 unnecessary touchdowns, and then everyone the next year is like, this is the year that he's not going to do it.
Well, it's Jimmy Graham breakout season. Did you see that final touchdown in the playoff game? That was a sick
Jimmy
catch.
Graham is still breaking out year 14.
Yeah, he still is. Still breaking out.
What do we got?
And who mentioned Chris Herndon? Why? I thought Chris Herndon was to never be talked about again.
Chris Herndon is a breakout candidate every year, so
this is a good point.
Know that. Yeah, no fantasy.
Tyler Conklin of the Minnesota Vikings. Conklin getting great camp reports over Irv Smith. So Conklin was a guy I tried to pick up 2 weeks ago in Go Fade Me, and I was blocked because I picked up 2 other guys. It was Stevie Scott or whoever the running back in the Saints offense is, and I picked up 2 players. He was 3rd on my list, and because I picked up those 2 guys, I didn't get to get Conklin. And then I just foregoed it this week. But someone should probably go get – if you're in a deep dynasty league, got tight end, a little pre-action, Tyler Conklin, interesting name.
I see a lot of people going after Jacob Harris as well, another deep tight end name.
Jacob
a lot of people
Harris
targeting him.
As soon as there's one little camp report on somebody, there's Jacob Harris over –
it was a video of him running really fast.
He's got I believe he's got wide receiver designation.
That'll do it.
Well, wide receiver tight end designation. And then there's the guy in the cool Chiefs that Andy Reid's talking about doing more 2 tight end sets with. I don't believe that for a fucking second, though. It's Byron Pringle season.
Yo, I know it's a tight end episode, but
don't say it.
I love Byron Pringle this year. Love him. I think he's everything that I wanted McCall Hardman to be.
Basically. Yeah, he's just McCall Hardman, but make him a good receiver. Turn up the catching ability a little bit.
Great
Cole
Harmer,
I haven't given up on, though. I just want that to be official. I have not given up on him yet. He's still only been a wide receiver for 3 years in his entire life, so we're going to give him another year.
It's unfortunate when you only sign a 3-year contract.
It's insane. All right, let's see. Who's going on in the chat? Any other?
Did you guys?
Tommy Tremble?
Did you guys talk about Dallas Goedert?
I didn't. We didn't talk about Goedert yet. It's can we have?
He doesn't really fall into any of those categories.
Can we have anything new to say about Goddard except for if Zach Ertz leaves, Goddard's going to be really good.
Which I really
could be a breakout where he like actually, you know, becomes a legitimate top five tight end, but
top five tight end, yeah. Well, I can't believe Ertz is still on the team. It makes no sense to me.
He's gonna be on the he's gonna be a Colt.
Yeah, he's gonna be
he'll be a Colt.
Ertz?
I feel like he will, yeah.
Yeah, that makes it makes too much sense.
But like what are they waiting for? Just fucking off
unless he retires, which I don't see that happening.
Done with it.
I don't know. I thought he would have been gone long ago, and he's not. So I don't really know what's going on there. Philly.
Dawson Knox, we touched on. I'm going through the chat.
Dawson Knox. Oh,
Dawson Knox is. I think he's like the athletic ability. He's everything you want your tight end to be. I just don't think he's going to produce for fantasy ever.
He's just everything that every tight end from 10 to 26 is. Like athletic, ran like a pretty
good
40.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's so good.
Snacks actually loves Dawson Knox.
I always have. So. He won me $400 last year. You guys remember that first touchdown score, Dawson Knox?
I do. All right. Any other last names we want to touch on in the tight end market?
I'm sure you talked about Irv Smith, right?
But there's not much to talk about. It's just he's really useless unless he's back with the Colts with Wentz. Like that's how I look at him.
No, Irv Smith.
You said Irv Smith? My laptop's roaring right now. I can't hear.
I like Irv Smith this year, dude. Love that. I think that offense doesn't have they're just a funnel to like three guys.
Right. I own him in a lot of dynasty leagues and I'm trying to really like him, and now Rudolph's gone. So, yeah. Okay, that's good. Glad to know.
Love that. Are we?
Jan God has a question. Thoughts on Dan Arnold?
I don't know if that offense is going to use tight ends. They have a lot of good weapons outside of the tight end position. They tried it with.
I don't have any faith in Sam Darnold tight end.
I like Dan Arnold because I really want to hear the connection Darnold to Arnold. So, and I'm wearing Hey Arnold on my shirt.
Wow. It all comes full circle.
So I will be drafting Dan Arnold within the first 10 rounds in redraft this year.
Just like, no, that's just not true.
Well, even if I did, you guys can't question it. I won the championship. Well, that was a very nice beat you put out last, by the way.
thoughts on Jarwin?
No.
Also no.
Yeah, I don't really know where his role is going to be.
Yeah. If he were going to break out, it would have been last year. It would have been last year, and like he had the perfect storm for him. Yeah, then he got hurt, and now I feel like he's not the only guy there. I feel like Dalton Schultz is going to get snaps, and I feel like it's just going to be – you know, now you're like a 45% tight end guy, whereas last year you could have had your breakout, been like 65-70% snap guy, and now it's just it's out the window. So he's not someone you draft to be your starter.
It's like Carolina too with the outside weapons. Dallas has three very good wide receivers, so I don't know where you could fit Blake Jarwin.
All right, next. Do you have a pantry ready for us?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, fuck.
All right, hold on. I got one more tight end, and the last one before we move on to Snacks Pantry for today is Pat Freiermuth. Rookie.
Absolutely
Pittsburgh
not.
Steelers, a team that's supposed to be good.
Their defense is supposed to be good. Their offense is going to stink.
Well, we don't know. He could be a piece that helps them come together. The offensive line is the mystery, but the weapons are there.
The weapons are there.
Including him, maybe.
No. He's not doing shit this year,
dude. Big Ben's been looking good in camp. A lot of words coming out saying the arm looks good. Feels
Eric
20
Ebron.
Years younger.
Eric Ebron, the best 17th round pick in the history of underdog best ball drafts. He's gonna score 6 touchdowns.
Is that
this
true?
Year. Yeah, I get him in the 17th round of like every draft. It's gorgeous. We ready? We're ready to pan.
All right, let's head on over to. My man, Snacks Pantry. What we got today? What's the
topic? So I said the other night that I have a new pantry, and it's because I am rewatching the show as part of my yearly rewatch. And Nick's little live show yesterday made it all the more relevant.
Best
so cameos, I have.
Let's go.
No. It's Ooh. Not cameos. Okay. I was going to do cameos.
Episodes?
But I did the five best supporting characters in Entourage. Now, okay, I kind of...
What defines a supporting character here?
They've been... Okay, so they've been in many episodes.
Can you eliminate
Gary Busey?
Can you eliminate like the ones that you would consider main characters? Like if I say Ari Gold, he's a main character, not a.
Well, he's a main character.
He's a main character. It's nobody from like the inner crew. There have been seasons
like
Shauna where these
would
guys
count,
don't
right?
even
because she's like the publicist.
Shauna would count. Yes. And is that a guess?
Yeah, I mean, does not like I lose any guesses? Yeah, it's a guess.
No, it's not.
All right, Dana Gordon, for sure. She's got to be top two.
Dana Gordon is number five. I love Dana. I know. I'm sorry. Top two. But I think you're going to understand why she's not top two. Dana Gordon is, first of all, she's an absolute babe. Second of all, she's the only one that goes toe-to-toe with Ari, you know, the way she does. And, Ari's got nudes on her that we never got to see. And she's a fox of a woman. Great character. Dana Gordon, number five.
I'm going to go with an off-the-wall one. I'm going to go with Marvin, the accountant.
Wow. That's a good one. Love Marvin.
Marvin is number four.
Oh,
I love Marvin,
baby.
Marvin has such anger to him, and he's always pissed and annoyed at Vince and the guys. And I resonate with that. Marvin is so damn funny. It happened. He's Beansy in the Sopranos, so he gets a little pushed there for that. And every time he's in a scene, it's just funny.
Yeah.
So Marvin, number four.
Now,
Animal,
do any of these characters play themselves, or is it always an actor, like playing someone?
It's an actor. It's an actor. Okay. Here's what's funny. I took Bob Saget and Andrew Dice Clay out. Even though they were in
yeah,
so
I was gonna say like those guys like Seth Green, all those guys don't count because they're playing themselves.
Right, Seth were like, right, exactly. Like they were in an episode or two, but I didn't. They're not like supporting characters. They're more of like cameos. So
right,
I took
I
those two.
One
out.
Obviously, you gotta go Lloyd.
You don't have to go Lloyd. I love Lloyd.
Wow,
it's Pride Month.
During Pride Month,
you
you're gonna fucking skip out on Lloyd.
I know.
Blasphemy.
If it was a top six, Lloyd would be seven. So
Snacks,
it's
Snacks doesn't stand with you.
The disrespect.
That's just not true. Listen, I love Lloyd. I just like the deceiving move that he made when he went to Adam Davies' office and kind of lowballed Ari after Ari gave him the world, and it was just it was a little tough. But Lloyd's a great character.
I got one.
I'm surprised you guys haven't got number one yet.
I'm going Josh Weinfuck.
I know who it is.
Josh Weinfuck is not on the list.
Damn.
But a phenomenal character. A phenomenal character. When Ari goes to that beach house, it is one of the funniest scenes.
All right, well then, easy, probably your number one. It's got to be Sloane because she's really hot.
Okay, well, I wanted to put Sloane up here, but she's just really hot.
Mean,
she's not funny or anything.
She's not on the list at all?
She's not on the list, no. I went
her
by this
alone
how
brings
they make
her.
Me
all right, all right. Number one's got to be
how they make me laugh.
It's got to be Wally Balls, Billy Walsh.
Billy Walsh is number one. And I'm surprised that wasn't even the first pick, guys. Come on, Billy Walsh is just.
I mean,
arguably the best
I
character
look at
in the
him
damn
as a main
show.
Character.
No, he wasn't. There's seasons where
character.
He was barely in it.
All right, I don't have faith in this pick. Animal, stop cheating. I don't have faith in this pick, nor I hope. I
I'm
hope
reading the chat.
I hope it's not on the list, but I'm gonna go with Dom.
I hate Dom. Can't be Man, Dom.
No one likes Dom, really. Oh, Snacks cut out.
What a sad day. We know it's not Dom because Dom is easily the worst character.
Yeah, I don't
character.
Think Snacks would put Dom on there. We'll keep ripping then. Snacky Poo.
How many do we have left?
We
got four or three?
We got Dana Gordon, Marvin, Billy Walsh. So I think we got three.
No, we just got one more, didn't we? No? Is that it? We only have three? This list sucks, Snacks.
Who's E's partner? Like in the agency when they're trying to fuck
Scotty Lavin.
Scotty Lavin. Yeah, let's throw Scotty Lavin out there when he comes bike. And who else?
I feel like the problem with anything like Entourage, main all the other characters were like just like chicks, like hot girls.
What's the problem? What about the other?
He's not counting them.
Yeah. What about the other agent, Amanda? She's definitely not on this list.
No. Why would she be? She was terrible. She tore the boys apart.
Yeah, but she's hot.
Like Gary Busey plays himself, so that doesn't count. I'm trying to think of guys that were in more episodes too. That were in repetitive episodes. I feel
like
there's just episodes.
Like one full season that we're like forgetting about.
Sasha Gray, maybe, but she's also playing herself, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, I don't know if that would work. What was the one that we remembered that we wanted to rip? Snacks.
I don't know.
Sorry. Fucking Willie called me. Okay, sorry. Where do we leave off? Billy Walsh?
You left because Willie called you?
Yeah, we got three, right?
No. I didn't answer it, but my shit went out. Yes, you have Billy Walsh, one, Marvin, four, and God, who was the fifth?
Dana Gordon.
Dana Gordon. So you have two and three. Nick, I'm shocked you haven't got two yet.
All right, we're getting Scotty Lavin.
You got Scotty Lavin at number three. The man, he pretty much gets Vince into his bender, so he's a very important character, but he's also funny as shit. And he was a great addition to the cast in like kind of the, you know, kind of the shittier seasons, but he was a great addition. So we had to put Scotty Lavin at number three.
You're surprised I haven't got number two yet.
Yep.
Is this the only one left?
I'm going to throw it out.
The only one left.
I don't think it's this one, but we'll say Amanda, Vince's other agent.
No.
Okay.
Not Amanda terrible. Daniels.
Good.
She's very high.
How is Lloyd not on the list? Like,
oh,
because
I know.
This guy was
I know,
better.
I know. I know.
Come
I know.
On.
I know.
Come on. Come on.
Animal, you wanna think on it a little bit?
I got nothing.
I can't make any promises. Let's go.
Carl Ertz?
Oh my god, Animal. Babs. Can't make any promises.
It's not
I can't
Babs.
Make any provolone. You say it's not Babs?
It's not Babs.
Are you
kidding me?
Oh, Andrew.
Dude, how, that is literally probably my favorite line in the whole show.
Can't how did you not put props. Babs on this? Did you just forget about her?
Because, no, I did kind of forget about Babs. But I'm telling you, number two is still on there.
Wow,
number
I thought two, that was.
You guys want to hit?
No.
I know.
Arby's friend Andrew that he hires?
Who?
Arby's friend Andrew?
No.
He wouldn't be number
Andrew
two,
Klein?
Though.
Absolutely not. No. Absolutely not. He was a train wreck.
I am shocked that Babs.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay. Number two.
Listen, I don't know who you're gonna. This is number two. I want a hint.
No, I don't want a hint yet. Give me like 60 seconds.
Nah, all right.
Male.
I.
No hints. No
it's
hints.
A male. It's a okay. All right, fine. Sorry. Babs. She is definitely an omission. She should be on there. Can't make any promises. Can't make any provolone.
Ah, shit.
I feel like you're going to hate yourself, Nick.
Probably.
Maybe I just think he's hysterically funny, and that's why I put him on there. Maybe I'm the only one.
Is he in the earlier seasons or later or throughout the whole show?
He's not throughout the whole show. It's just this is the only hint I'll give. It's one season.
Once that's what I was thinking. It's probably a later. I feel like it's season like six or seven, and we're just like.
I will.
About it.
I will give you. I
Phil
will give you
Yagoda.
It is not. You know what? That's actually a very funny guess, Phil Yagoda. And did you get Carl Ertz before?
You guessed Carl Ertz.
Yeah.
When I thought I had it with Babs, he guessed Carl Ertz. Oh, fuck.
The tax man.
Oh, that's so funny.
This is
great. So funny.
Fuck, this
oh
is
my
prison
God.
Love.
Yeah.
Anyone in the chat know?
No. I don't want help from the chat. This is driving me nuts right now.
That's Everyone's in Billy Walsh and other shit anyway. Wow. How mad are we going to be when we don't get this?
Fuck. I guess we'll take a hint.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Snacks. What the fuck?
Oh, snacks. You rat. You rat bastard. All right, where are the Entourage people in the chat? I got to start throwing out some names here.
Hints, animal. All right, snacks.
All right, hints. Let's see. He's Jewish.
Oh, fucking Nicky Rubenstein?
Nick Rubenstein, man. Okay. Are you kidding me? That season he's in, All Around Medellin.
Number two?
Yeah, I think.
Number two.
I think he deserves two? Like a five spot, and I think Bab should have been number two.
You guys are insane. Well, maybe recency bias because that's the season I'm watching right now. But every single time he's on camera and the way he talks to Ari cracks me the fuck up. When he's in when the girls, I guess he's sober. A good character, No.
Two?
He's a great character. He's better than Carl Ertz, first of all. Okay.
He's not better than Carl Ertz.
Fucking like
Carl Ertz deserves
Harvey Weinstein's list. Could have been on there.
Dude, I wanted to put Harvey too.
Oh, Harvey would have been a good one.
But Harvey's just so ridiculous.
He's based off a real person. He's not real.
He is based off a real person.
I'll never
I will say
you
I'm not
for
moving,
Babs. I'll never.
I'm not moving Nicky Rubenstein. I'm sorry. He's one of my favorite characters ever.
I mean,
but
it's your list. It's your pantry, so.
But it is mine. But I am very annoyed that I forgot Babs. You're right. And I think I would probably move.
All right. Fuck snacks. We're done. All right.
Well,
this episode's over.
The pantry's over. That's pretty much all we got for you guys. That's the tight end episode. Hope you enjoyed. Please like this video, actually, because I always forget to say that.
And hit do the streams. Thumbs up button. Looks thumbs like up. We've got 200 people in here and only 75 thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. We'll be doing Entourage trivia every single day. We're on a 2-for-2 rate right now, so every single day of the summer we'll be doing more of it. Thank
this
y'all for
it.
Hanging out. We'll see you tomorrow on Kuhn Assault Saturday. Goodbye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.